Yeah, today to begin with, I would like to tell you a quick story about a waiter working in a restaurant. Not sure any of you who are working as a waiter is a part-time work. In the U.S., the culture is to rely on tips because the base salary for the waiter is very low, and they earn a living from the tips people make. After the meeting. So one day there was a waiter working in a restaurant, and he saw someone coming into the door. And that person, he realized he's a billion late. So he was super excited, getting free seat on the table that I'm serving. And it happened. So he was expecting the billion late to tip him very generously. But you can get the result. To his disappointment, after the meal, the billionaire only tipped him an average. 10-15%, which is a lot here, but that was the average in the US. And he just can't believe, so he asked the billionaire, how come you tipped me only the normal? Last week, I had the honor to serve your son, who is dining here. And at least you took me 50% of the bill. How come you took me only 50%? You know what the billionaire replied? So he said, the billionaire, this is why, because my son got a father as a billionaire, so he just... And I got a father who is very poor, and when I was young, we worked very hard to earn every dollar. So I know that I won't spend advising. Not sure whether you get the point here. Is how you raise up as a child can significantly influence how you manage things. And similarly, how you are brought up in Christ also, how we are actually grown in Christ shaped our spiritual life and growth a lot. So today, what we're going to do is to actually look at how God brought up the Israelites, our people, and also more importantly, how God brought up us, you and I, in our spiritual life. We have first, so we have that much read through that verses just now. So today, I'm going to tell you a long story. Or go through three journeys. The first journey is from Egypt to Canaan, which is the Exodus journey of the Israelites. The second journey is my own story of how I experienced God from the doorstep to the operating table. And lastly, we're going to reflect on the story of how we know God's going to have in the heart. So, if you can remember, last week I was here with Susie was preaching. And do you remember what Susie has preached? I dropped down 2 points. She used Genesis to give us inspiring encounter with God and talk about a spiritual awakening. She also talked about the personal experience of God is important to people. Now today, when I walk through those journeys with you, let's start with the Exodus journey. So, anyone studying geography, you know where this, the river is. It is where the left-hand side is Egypt. Then the Sinai Peninsula, and then Israel is up here. Up the left of the Egypt. So this is the part where the Israelites can spend 40 years coming out of Egypt into the promised land, the Canaan. Not sure whether you have studied Old Testament. Please tell me last time that you don't hear too much about most of the sermon on the New Testament. But just that last week, Susie mentioned Genesis, and today we mentioned about the church, the Thessalonians. Now, Jacob got 12 sons and Joseph to Jacob's youngest son. So he was somehow betrayed to Egypt, but later on God made him become favorite in Egypt, and he was appointed to look over Egypt by the Pharaoh at that time. Then over 430 years, the Israelites grew in numbers. And then a new Pharaoh came to power, who doesn't know about the money. So he started enslaving the Israel, because he is afraid they can grow in numbers and they got some retaliation. Now, the Israel still enslaved for suffering, had a fire to walk. And then God delivered that power of Egypt. The Bible has recorded 42 stops all the way along, or 42 stages, all along the path. Today we are going to take a few significant places and see what the highest and lowest of Israel has bring them to know God. So we all started to meet it from a place called gravity. And this is where God fear about the suffering. The Lord said, I have indeed, what do you mean I have indeed? I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them cry out because of their slave drivers, and are concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, and a land flowing with milk and honey. Because God knows the suffering of the people, so he chose Moses to lead them out of Egypt. So he used 10 plagues, and he used Passover, where all the firstborn are being killed, including the son of Pharaoh. That's why Pharaoh finally let them go. And how many of them go out of it? It's not thousands or exactly 600,000 plus of men, plus women and children. So the marching out of Ramesses to support. And God did not let them be empty handed. When they left, God made them favor in the eyes of the Egyptians, and they asked for gold and silver and clothing. So all was given to them when they leave Egypt. Now, after leaving Egypt, they come to another place called Belzebub. So here, Pharaoh starts to change his mind. He thinks, hey, I let millions of people go, where's my slave? I can't use them anymore. So he sent a strong army to chase after the Israelites. And Israel was terrified when they start to bring Moses. What Moses replied to them, he said, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. This is the assurance that Moses, that God told the people through Moses. And after that, probably you will remember what happened next. The Lord performed a miracle. He separated the water of the Red Sea, so the Israelites can walk on the dry land. And when the army of the He used to hire 600 sheriffs, the best sheriffs in the best town, and chase after them into the river, into the rescue. The sea fall back, and the whole army was destroyed. So witnessing the Lord's mighty power, the Israelites feared God, and he placed their trust in him. Now, when they come to the place for Mara, so after the rescue, they walked 3 days to Mara. However, it was a tough journey. The 3 days was without water, no water. So the people was really afraid because then all of them were done with no water. When they arrived at Mara, they went to see some water, but to their disappointment, the water was bitter and cannot be drinked. So, however, Moses followed God's instruction. So Moses throws a piece of rock into the water, and the water becomes sweet and drinkable. Just like the spring water with bubbles, probably very sweet taste. The Lord gave them a decree and instruction to help them. The Lord said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in the eyes, if you pay attention to his commandment and keep all his feasts, I will not bring you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptian. And for I am the Lord who heals. So from here they know they need to. Now this place is Elam, where they come to. You know what happened there?
The young people would be excited to see this.
You know what they are? They are, it looks like computer games that they have on. But it is as comfortable as it's more leisure than playing any computer games because God provided 12 springs and 70 palms on that place, in the place. A very special place where the Israelites can have to have a good rest and refresh under God's provision after all these difficulties crossing the Red Sea, the Bible, etc. Thereafter, they come to the wilderness of sin. Now, in this wilderness, they start to grumble about the food because by that time, all the food they brought out from Egypt are mostly consumed. There are no more food supply. And remember, how many of them there? 600,000. Just men, but women and children could be up to 2 million people. 2 million people in the wilderness without food. So, where do they find the food? God promised them manna. Manna being a bread falling from the heaven, and pearl, the meat for them for that day. Here's what the Lord said to Moses. I'll bring down bread from the heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. So when the Israel woke up in the morning, they can saw the glory of God with a layer of manna all over the place in the camp. All they have to do is go out and collect them, but just enough for the day, not too much, not greedy, because tomorrow there will be new manna growing. And also they can sow the crop when they have the meat for that year. Now, here's the real challenge. They come to a place called Rephidim, and here they face their first real battle, not with their physical body because of hunger or trust, but with an actual enemy, the Amalekites, which is a strong army against them. So Joshua was sent to fight with them on the battlefield. But what happened? if you know, Moses was actually praying on the top of the mountain with the help of Aaron and Hur, who hold up his head on both sides, so that what happened is, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israel were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. So Moses, with the help of them, can hold up his hands for more than two, the sunset, and the Israel has won that battle smoothly. After that, they come to a place called Mount Horeb, or also known as Mount Sinai. Now, they have been out of Egypt for 3 months by now, and in the place, they actually came there and stayed for nearly 1 year. Why did they need to stay here for 1 year? Because God asked Moses to run up to the mountain and to receive the Ten Commandments for them. However, the people were worried because Moses had got the Ten of God. Will he return? Will he look at laws, or he thought somehow he forget about us? So they urged Aaron to actually make a golden calf for them to worship. So what Aaron asked is, can you take off all your gold and silver you get from Egypt? And put in front of me, so they get a pile of gold, and they make a golden calf, and they start to worship that golden calf. Now God's anger was burned when he knows the people is doing this, and he almost wants to destroy them. Only when Moses also returned to the mountain and saw this happen, he broke the tablet of the Ten Commandments that God has written. But Moses prayed for the people, appealing to God's mercy and his faithfulness. So he lost compassion, but gave them a second chance. So God renewed the Ten Commandments religiously and let Moses announce to the people. And also God provided a confident law, very comprehensive, to guide it as his chosen people. Then they traveled along a few more places, all the way up to a place called the Kadesh. Before that, this is what God told them. I'm making a covenant with you. Before all the people I will do wonders, never before done in any nation and in all the world. Now when you come to Kadesh, you remember what happened to you? It was a turning point here because Israel then actually 12 tribes into the Canaan to scout the land. When they returned, 12 of them returned, only Joshua and Caleb struck God's promise wholeheartedly. And they urged the Israel to go and fight the enemy to get the land. All the rest of the other 10 tribes, we talked a very few things before. They said, we are like grasshoppers in front of the people. So all they have to do is use a signal. We got pretty big and destroyed us. So the people are so frightened. They lost their hope, they lost their faith. They said, let's go back, let's choose a new leader, let's pick a new leader to go back to Egypt. I'd rather be a slave than being a grasshopper. Now, what happened is, God was very disappointed. How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me? In spite of all the signs I performed among them, not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness. But who is above me and has me 10 times? Not one of them will ever see banana from our whole to their ancestors. The primary thought is that God would like to destroy them. God almost destroyed them, but then God gives them a chance. However, all these people cannot enter the promised land after that. All the people over the age of 20 years cannot enter the promised land because of the disability of that boy. The exception is Joshua and Caleb. Who trusts God wholeheartedly. So what happened is, Israel had to go around after this phase, to go around for another 38 years. Imagine that. They go around for 38 years, and then they come back to the same place, the Kadesh. And then, by that time, a new generation has grown up, and God instructed them to go along, and God actually gave them a few reasons that will overcome of the enemies up here. But then, also God asked them to go down around the Red Sea, all the way up here to a lot of Edom. God don't want them to fight Edom. And because of that, is another wilderness road that Israel found very difficult. And even the new generation, they start to learn just like their parents. Why have you brought us our teachers to be died in the wilderness? We detest the miserable food, even though the manna was actually very tasty, but they become tired of eating the manna. This time, God sent the remnants with some others, and they are hard to get. And only these that the people start to commit their sin against the law, and Moses prayed for them. And here, what the Lord said to Moses, make a stick and put it up on the pole. Anyone who is eaten can look at it and eat. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on the pole. Then when anyone was eaten and looked upon the bronze snake, they leave. God has provided a way to heal and offer his forgiveness and restoration to those who repent. It is also a foreshadowing of Jesus. Anyone who looks upon Jesus will be saved from spiritual death. Now, finally, we come to the face of Moab. This is the face that is opposite the promised land, the camp. And they are ready to cross the river to the promised land. Now, the Israel called all the Israel to trust him and to step into the river. So the priest carrying the ark of the covenant entered the water. And what happened? The water will be wide again, just like when they crossed the Red Sea. Once again, the Israel seed God's miracle. The Jordan River was divided and they walked across into the promised land. And this is what they did after. They did as Joshua commanded them. They took the 12 stones from the middle of Jordan. According to the number of tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord has told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to the camp where they put them down. Why did they collect the stone? They want to remember. Or why did God Moses order them to do it? They need to remember and to remind the future generation of God's miraculous intervention. So, the here is the dream of the text that we just found here. Imagine we are part of the Israelites, we go through that text of what do we feel? We are in suffering and God sees us. He hears us. He is concerned with us. He is delivering all of Egypt. How do we do that? He led us across the Red Sea. What do we have to do? We just need to be still and stand firm and God will fight for us. Now we think 3 days into no water. But all we need to do is pay attention to His command. Then we will find the water. Then we can also rest in God's provision. Remember that here? 12 days and 17 countries. When we run out of food, God provides manna and pearl. We just need to trust in our way. And in the people, when we take battle, it's not our soul that we find failure. In my silence, God made a confidence to us as His chosen people, how precious it is. We need to be holy and worship Him. A cadence. Only Joshua and Caleb have trust God's faithfulness wholeheartedly. The rest choose not to believe. What happened? 38 of wandering and the Lord of the hope to enter the promise. Even the new generation face they take the bronze stick, which is because they are calling some of the best parents of the parents. But God's mercy, forgiveness, and salvation is there for all to believe. And finally, at the case of Moab, they can cross the river. And they took the sword. So always remember what God has done for you in your life. Today we read the Deuteronomy chapter 4, 35 to 30. Among them are 35 and 39. To reiterate of that, you will show these things so that you might know that the Lord is God. Besides Him, there is no other. Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven and above and on the earth below. There is no other. So through this, the Israel learned, the Lord is your God. Now, how about ourselves? I want to just briefly share with you two of my personal experiences which I come to know about more. I was baptized in 1984. Coincidentally, it was 40 years. That's right, 40 years that I just like the journey of the history. And I want to share with you two testimonies. One is from the store staff. Back to the pivotal moment on the operating table. What happened is that Pastor and I got married in Hong Kong and come to Australia in the early 90s. And people like to have children but have no success in the early days. I can still clearly remember the day when we cried and we stayed to talk together. And something miracle or amazing has happened. I one morning, I hear some quirking noise in the front door. When I say quirking, it's a quirk. And there was a white duck. Recently, my neighbor, they tried to open the fence and jump over, come to my doorstep. across the doorknob. And this is the edge. This is the edge. I collect it and put it back here just to take the photo to show you. And not long after, Esther was confirmed pregnant. So it's so amazing that God uses this thing. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Also, I learned that all creatures give glory to the Lord. If you don't praise God, even the dark will quell. You will go out in joy and let fall in peace. The mountains and the hills will rise with the sound before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. So the nature will praise the Lord. So, Horace, our first son, was born later. Although he was born premature at 8 weeks, but by God's grace and favor, he grew healthy and strong and involved. Now, by the time we had the second children, it was Johnny. He was also born premature. And the third time, I wonder whether God will do it again to keep him healthy and grow up healthy. But here you see, he's still here, and he stands tall, and he's handsome. So, God doesn't stand tall. God is unchanging. Just like Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, this is the doorstep experience. The second experience is bike accident. Some of you might remember I had a terrible bike accident 4 years ago, and I broke my elbow very badly. And at that time, probably I think tax or call someone to bring this conversation to pray for me. So I thank you, people, that you prayed for me on that day. And what happened is I got a bike fall and I got very badly. One of my form was dislocated, the other form was broken into pieces, literal pieces. I can't find it, I think it was X-ray system. A few moments, 3 moments, and then you know, sandy pieces. But God has taken care of me by sending 3 angels behind me, or put some marbles to get me to the hospital. First one was in a hurry, but he saw me on the ground, so he signaled a car to stop by and then to cut. And then a driver stopped by, get off the car and call the police, turn the police, call the ambulance for me. But then he has to go as well. And then a third group of Samaritans come by, he was a cyclist. And he stopped by the house. At first, I was a bit scared about him because he looked a bit He was tattooed, his hair was spiky, he was just like one of, you don't know what was the matter, but in fact, he got a very kind of house. He actually stayed with me. He called, he took my phone, I asked him to help me to my phone and call my wife and told me to come, and he waited until the ambulance comes and also get my bike back when I sent the wife. So I was sent to hospital and I got two skilled doctors to help me. On the spot, they helped me to relocate the situation, but then the other problem was too serious that they have to call in an operating specialist to have me do it. When the surgeon perform the surgery, he said, I'm worried about it at least, however, you can expect you cannot do it because it was quite serious. So he expectation that you might imagine it in your heart. And after that, by mercury, the surgeon performed a surgery over 2.5 hours, and this is what I had on with. I think I got 2 dozen of teeth and then 2 lumps of head in the inside of the inside, but it's good. And then after that, even completed. We have been rehab for over a month. At first, out of box, only do it like this. Because, and then gradually, I can now do this, but I'm 100%. 100% recovered. To the surprise of the surgeon, he was, when I'm in this situation, he was very happy with what he's done. More than happy, because he didn't expect I can 100% recover. And by the grace of I can now see what was the matter. So come next time, I'm happy. So this is my encounter with God, and not to say, he is so friendly, and all things work together for those who love God. We know that all things, God works for good of those who love Him, and who have been called according to His purpose. So Christians are not exempted from adversity. We face our danger, we face our accident, we face our sickness. But God has promised to be with us through His faith. Okay, last slide. Now we come to our own journey. So what does it all mean to you? How shall we respond to God? Now we see the Israel's journey, you hear my journey. How about your own journey? Your own journey with God. Who is God? How do you get to know Him? How can you bring Him from just in the head into your heart? I have 4 things here for you. First one, God is a living God. He is always ready to show us His way, just like He showed Israel through their journey. And we have one life, one and only life, to truly know Him, to look upon Him, to trust Him, to obey Him, and to follow Him. The Bible is His living word, given for us to cherish and to honor. Spend your time to study. I know a lot of students here have gone through degree or just finished degree. You study very hard. How hard do you study for the degree? Years. Study the Bible. How to get your degree? Because degree doesn't end after you. After you get the tertiary education, after you work, degree is nothing. But the Bible is for life. Try to study the book of Moses to recall the Israel journey with the Lord and reflect on your own journey in Christ. The Holy Spirit, we thank God the Holy Spirit dwells within us. He can guide us to understand the Bible and to transform us into His likeness. So let's strive for holiness and live a life that brings praise and glory to God. And finally, I would encourage all of us to pursue a personal relationship with God, focus on deepening your connection, and until one day you can say, you are the Lord my God. Until one day you can wholeheartedly say, you are the Lord my God. Okay, so that's my sharing with you today, and let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the words that in the Bible. We thank you for all your signs, for your miracles you perform in the Israelites in the journey out of Egypt. From there we learn, we have a lot to learn to know you. And God, we thank you that you are our Lord. You give us the opportunity to know you through Christ, and to be having a confidence to be as your chosen people. Please help us to really know you more. Please help us to understand the Bible, to actually get to know you better and get to love you, to respond to you. Lord, we thank you. You are the Lord, our God. We pray that in Jesus' name. Thank you.